expressed by the guests and telephone participants do not necessarily express the views of the management, staff, or sponsors of AM 950 KHI.
Looking at 8:05 and, let's see, about 60 degrees thereabouts. Once again, this is Mike Nichols, and you're listening to AM 950 KHI. Time for the KHI Corral with Matt and BK. Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you. I'm really excited today. A horsewoman, a Tevis rider, and an author. Does it get any better than that?
Oh, I know. That gets you excited, huh?
Yes, it does. Yes. All of the above.
Well, BK likes creative people, and so this is...
Well, I'm glad
just down your alley, huh, BK?
I'm glad she's on this side of the glass.
Yeah, so, I've been banished this morning.
So welcome to the KHI Corral. This is the talk show about horses, and this is the weekend before the greatest 100-mile endurance ride in the world, the Western States 100-mile ride known as the Tevis Cup. And so today's show is going to be dedicated to that ride because it finishes right here in Auburn, California, the endurance capital of the world.
Amen.
And we are right here almost in the endurance square, broadcasting this morning to you. And I hope we have listeners that are planning on riding the ride this year and listeners that plan on watching and maybe participating and volunteering or spectating the ride. And we're going to get through all those details throughout the show. But first, we have our special guest this morning, Sharma Gopinath, who just received her first batch of books last night.
Yeah, they came yesterday.
They came in yesterday. Books that her first batch, I guess that's what you call it, right? Your first copies. She wrote a book called Tevis from the Back of My Horse, and I was looking through it this morning with Sharma, and it just looks like a great
book. That's a neat name.
Tevis from the Back of My Horse.
It is. Congratulations, Sharma. Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a big deal to get a book out. Yeah.
Now, is this your first book?
This is my first non-scientific book. Let's put it that way.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh, I like that. Non-scientific.
But there are some technical things in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Tevis is scientific in a lot of different ways, preparing for it anyway.
That's
and
right.
You probably use some of your background, you know.
I did.
To build your theories on conditioning and maybe approaching the ride.
I did. And I talk a lot about how to acclimate and the difference mm-hmm. between human spleen and a horse spleen and why you need to get up to Roby Park a little bit early so you mm-hmm. can adjust to the altitude. Horses don't have a problem with that. They have huge spleens compared to us, and their spleens store a lot of extra red blood cells, and they can squirt them out at will.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, I've had clients in the past that wanted to go do elevation training, and I try to convince them they didn't have to do that. It was a waste of time. I'd rather spend the time normally. Now, see, we're talking about Tevis and riding Tevis. October 8th is the ride this year, and for those of you that are going, wait a minute, isn't Tevis in the summertime? It was slated for July 17th, and we just had too much snow. And so now the ride is October 8th. We moved it to this day, and it's going to be a beautiful weekend,
mm-hmm.
even though it's going to rain Tuesday and Wednesday.
Is it?
And but normally, coming back to Sharma, and when she was talking about the elevation at the start of the ride, you know, I would try to get people to spend more time in the heat and in the canyons, and don't waste your time, you know, doing your elevation training, because it really doesn't matter with the horse.
No.
And so the horse is able to store so many red blood cells that elevation, oxygen carriers, they got plenty of them. And it's more important to get them acclimated to the heat, I believe.
Yeah, the heat is...
Not necessarily this year, but...
Well, normally in Tevis, the heat is definitely your enemy.
Yeah, it is. It is. So let's see. Let's get back to your book real quick. I was thumbing through it because this is the first.
Yeah, it's hot off
the
press.
This is it, hot off the press. And so we got to look, you know, I'm probably one of the first people to get to look through it.
I am so jealous.
And, well, I've got it right here, BK, across the glass.
I may have to wrestle you for it.
One of the things I really like about where you know, thumbing through it is you go from basically start to finish of the ride, and it looks like you start off with, you know, with you know, the beginning of getting started in your conditioning program, and putting a horse together.
Yeah, I talked a lot about how I prepared for Tevis last year. Was my first time attempting the ride. I'd crewed for it a couple times, so I kind of had a sense from the crew point of view how difficult the ride is. And so I put about 1,000 conditioning miles on my horse over 2 years, doing a lot of endurance rides, a lot of, you know, tough conditioning to get us both actually ready. And I think it was a good conditioning program, and it seemed to work because we accomplished our goal.
Well, not too many people that start the ride, their first attempt, finish. And when you look at the statistics, I mean, only half or maybe sometimes less than half the riders that start this ride, even experienced riders, don't finish this ride, you know, for one reason or another. And so, you know, you started off with a good success right there.
I did. And I have to say that no matter how prepared you are for Tevis, you must have Lady Luck with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a rock with your name out on it out there somewhere, and all of that, you know, all the Tevis, you know, lore of, right. You know, there's just, you know, you had to pray to the Tevis God to get through this ride. My first attempt was in 94, and I finished my first ride, and I haven't been pulled yet, thank goodness. I'm going for number 5 this year, and hopefully Lady Luck will be on my side. We'll see.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sharma, I'd like to hear something about your horse, Tahoe.
Okay. Well, he is a Bayshaw grandson and a son
of
Extreme. He's... just a hair under 16 hands tall, and I'm
not
a couple inches under 5 feet tall. So what I tend to do is before any endurance ride I go on, I contact the management ahead of time and tell them the size difference between me and my horse and say, would it be possible in strategic places for you to put an escalator so I can get on my horse?
How does the ride management respond to that?
They're very accommodating.
I was wondering if there's a very lightweight portable mounting block somewhere in a catalog.
Oh, there's plenty of stumps and rocks out there, I'm sure. You know, I mean,
or teach him to kneel down so you can get on.
Yeah.
Well. So, what got you started in endurance? I know you have a horse background, but where's your background in distance riding?
I started endurance riding back in the 80s with my first endurance horse, who was a Rush Creek horse. He was actually a son of Cougar Rock. And we did several endurance rides. And then my job changed in that I had to do a lot of international travel. So that kind of stopped my ability to do endurance rides, and I had about a 20-year hiatus until a couple years ago when I started training up Tahoe and started endurance riding again.
Yeah, there you go. And so other than Tevis, have you ever done any other hundreds other than Tevis?
Nope.
Tevis is it.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. You know, Virginia City was like 3 weeks ago.
I know.
And a lot of, you know, because of the way the schedule worked this year, you know, there's a few horses that have done VC that are going to start Tevis too. And I think that's going to be quite a feat if they can finish both rides within 3 weeks of each other.
You know, yeah.
Because Virginia City is a tough ride.
I thought that I would pass on that.
Yeah, me too. Because normally I do VC, but this year I thought I'd pass. And go for the big ride, you know, have plenty in my gas tank is what I'm hoping for.
But you were still out putting a lot of miles on that weekend, I remember.
What's that?
You were out getting ready for the Tevis and doing
I mean, I've missed so many shows.
The training ride.
You know, every weekend I've been gone. And in that one weekend, the last weekend that we were slated for this, I was slated for the show, I rode the first day from... from Michigan Bluff to Last Chance and back, and then the next day turned around, rode from Robinson to Forest Hill, And so about 65, 70 miles that weekend. And that was one of, that was the last big push, you know, for conditioning. We've been kind of winding down since then.
Yeah, I think it's important to give your horse a rest a few weeks before Tevis.
Yeah, you start winding down. You can't get him in any better shape.
Right.
At this point, you know, and if anything, this is when you start getting the micro tears and you know, in the tendons and ligaments, and you know, you just want your horse to be eating a lot and resting right now.
Right. You don't want to override them beforehand.
Yeah. We're going to ride out of the Overlook today and just finish up at the finish line. And, you know, one of my things, and Sharma, you know, you might have your, you know, your ideas, but I call it trailer. You know, you have barn sour horses. You can make your horse trailer sour. You know, basically you kind of put the trailer down the trail and just want them to get to that trailer. And then when they leave for the next vet check, you know, you want them to think that they're heading to their horse trailer again.
That's exactly how you do it.
You know?
Yeah.
At this point, I expect that Nerf sees you coming and goes, oh, man.
Yeah.
Now
He's fine. He's fine. I don't think Nerf cares. I think Nerf is just fine. Back to your book, Tevis from the Back of My Horse. We're talking to Sharma Gopinath, but we have to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to find out what inspired the name Tevis from the Back of My Horse. All right, we'll be right back after these messages.
Echo Valley Ranch at 205 Nevada Street in Auburn is your downtown feed store and a whole lot more. How much more? Well, here's Echo Valley Ranch customers to tell you.
Well, I shop at Echo Valley because they have all my pet needs in one place. The other thing is that there are parrot heads here.
Well, I like Echo Valley because they've got everything you need down here, especially good service. And if they don't have it, they'll get it. But I haven't found anything that they don't have yet.
Hi, this is Chuck at Echo Valley again, and we're here with Hank. And Hank, you're a cow dog, right? Oh, really? The fact that they have all the biscuits right at nose level works for you, huh? I think that about says it all.
Echo Valley Ranch, your downtown feed store, and a whole lot more. 205 Nevada Street in Auburn. Open 7 days a week with delivery available. The next time you find yourself in the need for feed, see the friendly folks at Echo Valley Ranch.
Lots of folks nowadays assume the only way to get good product at good prices is buying online. Now, here at Mickey's Boots, we're right here under your nose with a huge selection of boots, hats, belts, and Dickie jeans, shirts, and overalls. But if you wake up in the middle of the night and you want to shop online, go to www.mickeysboots.com and voila, there it is. Western boots, we have Lou Casey, Justin, Tony Lama, Nakona, and Boule. Work boots, we have Red Wing, Danner, Wolverine, Thorogood, and Chippewa. And if you're a firefighter, you know we carry Whites, Hawthorns, and Westcos. We have recently added Dickie jeans. Lots of good stuff. So, order away, price is right, selection is big, and we do have sizes. When one of us gets to work the next morning, we'll send you a confirmation just like the big box stores do. And bingo, you've shopped online at Mickey's Boots. Or, if you want to drop by and try some boots on for a good fit, stop by Mickey's Boots, downtown Auburn.
What's in your horse supplement? Grand Meadows Nose Ingredients are your first concern. Whether you need an all-around nutritional like Grand Vite, the hoof strengthening of Grand Hoof, or effective joint support from favorites like Grand Flex or Grand HA Synergy, Grand Meadows guarantees that every scoop from first to last delivers the same levels of essential nutrients every time. Look for us at your local feed store, and while you're there, pick up our new Sweethearts, the flavored supplements horses love like treats. Grand Meadows for professional quality equine supplements. And now, K-High Corral and Grand Meadows will save you money on your horse's supplements. Just write your own $5 K-High Corral coupon. Take your handwritten $5 coupon to your favorite feed store or tell them you're a K-High Corral listener and you want your $5 Grand Meadows savings. You'll receive $5 off on your purchase of Grand Meadows favorites like Grand Flex, Grand Bite, Grand Hoof, or any of our other great products. Plus, you'll receive a $5 coupon for our next Grand Meadows purchase, too. K-High Corral and Grand Meadows team up to save you money today and on your next visit.
How'd that happen?
I don't know.
All right, we're back. You're listening to KHI, Auburn, California, Endurance Capital of the World. It's 8:19, and this is the talk show about horses on KHI Corral with myself, Matt Scribner, and BK.
Yes,
England?
Sir.
Yes.
Oh, it took a little
I can't
nap
see you.
Here.
Oh, okay.
I thought that whistling, I thought Alice was here. Alice whistles. Oh, she's good.
She's that, good?
That yeah. scared me. I didn't. Wow. The K-Hi band was woke up from a nap.
Yeah.
And immediately took up the wrong music. Oh, well, it makes for excitement.
So we're talking to Sharma Gopinath. She is the author of a book called Tevis from the Back of My Horse. And, you know, before we left for the break, I asked her what inspired the name Tevis from the Back of My Horse, because the first thing I think is where else would you be?
That's right.
Hopefully it just seemed
obvious. I couldn't have done it
it's
without
kind of like
him.
Centered riding. Where else would you ride, and except for in this center? But so I'm sure you probably messed around with different titles, but
yeah,
you know, that just kind of came.
I had a couple other titles before that, and then all of a sudden I said, "You got to keep it simple." So
that's
what
right.
is Tevis?
It's
the ride I did from the back of my horse, and it couldn't have happened without him.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So. What inspired you to even want to attempt the hardest, most challenging 100-mile horse race in the world?
Well, I think having crewed for it, you know, about 25 years ago, it planted a seed, and I thought, you know, this is something that is a tremendous challenge and would be a phenomenal thing to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And I would like to do it on a horse that I trained myself and see if it's possible. So it's been on my bucket list for about 25 years.
You must have been about 11.
No kidding, I was thinking the same thing.
So anyway, I decided to take early retirement, and I remembered how pretty it was up here in the gold country, having crewed for Tevis in the 80s, and I thought, wouldn't it be nice to live up near the Tevis mm-hmm. and live out my dream of being
wow.
able to train and ride And it happened. I'm just amazed. I still keep pinching myself because this is such a beautiful area, and there's horse people everywhere. You can just make a phone call, and 20 people say, "Yeah, I'll go ride."
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Well, you know what's amazing is I don't think people realize how many people have moved to the foothills because of Tevis. You know, since 1955. I mean, people would come here. And you know, to either participate in the ride or have, like you, have this challenge in mind and actually move to our area because of the Tevis Cup.
It was, you know, a little. You never know what the unknown's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I left all my infrastructure in the Bay Area, which is where I moved from, and came up here. And it couldn't have been a better decision.
Yeah.
Everybody is so nice. I can't. It's just. The environments are pretty, the weather's fabulous, and the trails are phenomenal everywhere. I couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
I think you need to join the Chamber of Commerce here because we heartily agree.
Yeah. We're very lucky to have the trails that we do, and we're very lucky we have the Western States Trail Foundation to fight for those trails. Because they would not exist without the trail organizations that we have, not just Western States Trail Foundation, but there's, you know, the Gold Country and Drew Barner and, mm-hmm. and Roby Foundation. And, oh, man, I could go on and on about just these organizations that do nothing but finance and politically hold these trails together for equestrians.
Right. And these are very historic trails. They've been around since the gold mining ages. And I am donating a good portion of the proceeds from the sale of my book to the Western States Trail Foundation because they do what they do, and from my point of view, it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
I have a question. I keep hearing weather reports that there may be SNOW in the high country this coming week. How concerned are you about the weather?
Heavens to Murgatroyd.
So. Yeah. Can you believe
it's
it?
It's
going to
be a beautiful
ironic.
Weekend, and
okay.
The weather is not going to be an issue.
Okay.
You know,
positive
I don't know. I think
thinking.
In 2009, Lee and I were driving up to start the ride, and it was hailing and raining, you know, in the middle of the summer up there. And so I don't, you know, it's going to be cold.
It's supposed to get a little rain coming in Monday night into Tuesday and Wednesday, and then
it's going to be a beautiful weekend. It's going to settle the dust, and it's going to be a great weekend. The only challenge that I think that's going to be put out for this particular ride is the fact that the day is short, and so we're going to start in the dark, and we're going to ride a lot more in the morning in the dark, And, you know, we'll be lucky if you're jamming along to get into Forest Hill before dark. And yeah. So that's going to be the challenge this year.
I would imagine that would definitely impact the times.
It may not, because the coolness might
cooler.
Make up for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. We don't know. We have no idea.
Yeah.
This has never happened. It's unprecedented. And, you know, but one of the things that's really interesting is once they postpone the ride from July 17th to October 8th, the entries to the ride increased.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah, they're it's looking, and we're going to talk to Andrew Gerhard here in a little while. He's on the board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like we might be starting, you know, close to 200 riders.
Yeah, I checked the rider list on September 25th, and there were 199 entries.
199.
There might be a few more
yeah.
by now.
Well, there'll be some drops and different things, but we're going to start a big field mm-hmm. in the dark for a long time, which is going to be interesting. So the book is called Tevis from the Back of My Horse, and where can we find this book?
It'll be for sale at the Tevis store. You can find the Tevis store online and physically during the week of the Tevis.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be selling the book at the barbecue on Wednesday
oh,
evening.
Good.
They'll be selling the book at the vendor area at Rowey Park at the start of the ride, and I'll be available for several hours that day on Friday to sign books.
Good.
And then they'll be selling the book again on Sunday after the awards banquet.
At the banquet.
And I'll be available then, too, to sign books.
That's
and
really exciting.
The other place you can go right now is I have a website for the book. It's sharmagapanoff.com. And you can buy the book from my website as well.
Right.
So.
And that's sharmagapanoff, GAPONOFF.
And I was able to reach it just putting the title of the book in uh-huh. also, in case anyone doesn't,
yeah,
doesn't
you can,
get that.
You can Google on the title and that'll mm-hmm. take you there.
Well, mm-hmm. one of the things I like already the most about your book is you know, you started, it's basically from start to finish. And that means start, like, you know, finding your horse and putting your conditioning program together all the way to Auburn. And, you know, the books that I've seen written on the Western States Ride, you know, over the years, I haven't seen any that really kind of broke it down like you have. And so I think that's really good.
Yeah, I think that is a reflection of my scientific
yeah.
background. I
yeah.
kind of have a very yeah. sort of organized
well,
way
you
of...
You go bird by bird.
That's right.
We know that book, huh? You know that book, BK?
I don't think so.
It's a great book on how to write books.
Ah!
You know that book?
No.
Oh.
Okay, I think I'm going to have to talk
yeah, you need to
about that.
You need to pick up that book. It's
I
called
know,
Bird
I've,
by Bird.
I very much enjoyed Julie Sear's book.
Yeah,
on,
10 feet tall. And,
yeah,
yeah,
and still. 10
and
yeah.
still.
Yeah, yeah, it's a marvelous book, so I'm looking forward to this one, too.
Well, it's exciting, and I know when you know you finish that first ride, the first Tevis, it's just such a great accomplishment to get that one out of the way. And, you know, it's nice because, I mean from Julie Sear's book, a woman who's ridden it, you know, 20-some-odd times and whatever, and is, you know, done so many miles, you know, her perspective on endurance, but this is kind of a different, this is a fresh perspective on this ride, you know, from a first time rider, which I think is important because you, it's fresh to you on how you did it.
Yeah, my
you know,
eyes are open.
You can ask somebody that's ridden, right. you know, ridden the ride 30 times, how do you do Tevis? And they're going to tell you how they did their last Tevis,
mm-hmm.
you know, not how they did their first Tevis. And for new riders and people that want to do this ride, and we have some listeners, I'm hoping, this morning that are doing their first ride this year. And, you know, this is a great book to get started if you have that aspiration.
Right. My objective in writing this book is twofold. One, to share the story, because there's a lot that goes on in 100 miles.
Absolutely.
And then also to provide a kind of a primer on how to prepare successfully for a challenge like this.
Yes. Yeah. And it's a rider horse team, you know, and you know, one of the most amazing connections you can have with the horse is out there, you know, preparing for it and then doing this ride and being so tied into every aspect of their metabolic, from their metabolic to their you know, their own mental attitude and everything that goes on with that horse. By the time you get to Auburn, you can read their minds. I mean, you just have right. this just amazing feel for them.
And during the ride, I found that we were even breathing mm-hmm. at the same
yeah.
rate.
Yeah.
It was just incredible.
So let's take our break. We'll be right back after these messages. Sharma, I hope you stick around because we're going to have Andrew Gerhard from the Western States Trail Foundation on, talk about trail conditions and what's going on in Auburn during the ride. We'll be right back after these messages.
Christensen Saddlery, Northern California's largest tack shop for horse care products and accessories, is a proud sponsor of K-High Corral. Christensen's is your source for English riding apparel, Western tack, including clothing, boots, and Weaver leather. Mention this K-High ad, and Christensen's will take $10 off any purchase of $50 or more. No other coupons or discounts apply. Christensen Saddlery in Loomis, 1-800-40-HORSE, 1-800-40-HORSE, or online at christensens-saddlery.com.
This is Nicole Narandi, sales manager at Auburn Ford on Grass Valley Highway. I'm proud to say my family has owned and operated the Foothills' only Ford dealership for over 30 years. We want to thank all of our loyal customers who return to buy their vehicles from Auburn Ford time and time again. And we look forward to providing new customers the best deals around. And at Auburn Ford, our parts and service departments are among the best in the business. Come by and see us, Auburn Ford, 1650 Grass Valley Highway, or check us out online. We love it here in the Foothills, and we love providing you with quality sales and service at Auburn Ford.
The People's Newspaper is alive and well. The Placer Sentinel has been serving its readers since 1987. We bring you local news, local events, and great commentary. Always interesting, always Placer. Pick up your copy at one of over 100 locations in the greater Auburn area. The Placer Sentinel, written by the people for the people. To advertise, call 530-823-2463 or find out more at placersentinel.com. And thank you for reading the Placer Sentinel.
Local Heroes Burger Joint in Auburn is the place to go before or after Hillman football when you crave a great burger. Here's just one fan from Facebook.
I am now in love with Local Heroes. Absolutely the best burger and fries I've had in years. Lots of food, no nasty gut-busting grease workout, just lots of great burger and oh-so-tasty fries for a good price. I am definitely in love. Thank you, Local Heroes. Finally, someplace to go to get a real burger and fries.
Local Heroes in Auburn, serving great burgers, fries, shakes, and more at 1120 High Street. Open 7 days a week.
Want to get fit, stay toned, or just have a plain old good time? Then go check out the Courthouse Athletic Club. No matter how you want to get fit, the Courthouse is guaranteed to have it. Whether it's at their Olympic-sized pool, on their treadmills, or in one of the many classes they offer, you'll find it at the Courthouse Athletic Club. So take a spinning class, make some friends, and get fit all at the same time, 885-1964. Courthouse Athletic Club, they're your path to fitness.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, host of The Dave Ramsey Show, where life happens every day.
Cash advance or payday loan are some of the scummiest, biggest ripoffs on the planet. And they are totally taking advantage of the exact people that cannot afford it. Poor people. If you notice, you don't see payday lenders in the rich end of town.
It all happens right here on The Dave Ramsey Show.
Weekday afternoons, 1 to 4, here on The Voice of the Foothills, AM 950 K-High.
It's 8:33. You're listening to K-High Corral. This is the talk show about horses with BK England and myself, Matt Scribner. And we're broadcasting from the endurance capital of the world. October 8th, that's next Saturday, is the Tevis Cup. 100-mile Western States, 100-mile ride. And we've been talking to Sharma Gopinath, who just got her first copies last night of her new book, called Tevis from the Back of My Horse, and it's just looks it's a beautiful hard copy hardcover book with a great photographs in it, and it's just a super breakdown of this ride. If you're just even interested in the historical aspect of Tevis and its connection to this town Auburn, and maybe someday you might be inspired to participate in this ride. And if you were, this would be a good book to read, I think.
Sharma, were you thinking about doing the book when you were on the ride? Or is this something you thought about afterwards and started working on?
I was thinking about every footfall of my horse on the ride. I was not thinking about riding. So what happened was I finished the Tevis, and then I slept for a couple days, literally. And when I woke up, I thought, you know, I ought to write down some of the things that I remember from the ride, because if I don't, I know my mind, it's going to evaporate. So I sat down at the computer, and I started typing, and I figured, oh, 20 pages max. And the next thing I knew, I had written almost 2 months solid, and I had an outline of a book. So I did some proof of concept readings with some friends of mine that don't know anything about horses and some friends of mine that are quite accomplished equestrians, and they all said, you must turn this into a book.
Oh, that's great.
That is awesome. Well, I don't think there's enough books on this ride, and I'm glad you wrote one, and you wrote it from the perspective, you know, as a first time competitor.
That's right.
And I think that's really important that we, you know, have this balance between these 20 and, you know, going on 3,000 mile riders to somebody who's gone out and said, I'm going to do this. This is something, you know, a goal I set, and how you accomplished it.
Now, what did you learn on your first ride, Shauna, that you might do differently this year?
Two things mainly. One, don't waste time at the vet checks, or don't, you know, dilly-dally at all. Added up the amount of time that we spent extra at vet checks and stopping here and stopping there. If we had kept to the schedule, we would have saved 2 hours.
Yeah. Wow. That's one of the biggest things I coach on, is don't waste time in the vet checks. So I think that's a big one.
And the second thing I learned is, unless you're riding with your family, you should probably just ride your own ride and not worry about, you know, promising your riding partner that, you know, under thick and thin,
we're going to stick together.
Yeah,
you can't
because
do that.
There's too much that goes on out there.
You can't get two horses to pace the same anyway. And so you might, you know, and they don't come down the same in the vet checks. And so it's really difficult to set out those goals. I've ridden with several, you know, I've ridden, you know, Lee and I rode our first Tevis together, and we had that perfect day. But it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, I think it's really
hard. So what do you think, Andrew? What do you think of Sharma's advice?
I think that's great advice.
That's great advice. We're talking to Andrew Gerhard, who's on the Board of Governors of the Western States Trail Foundation, and he took the morning. He's going out to Mark Trail this morning, and he took a little time to talk to us about what's going on with the ride this year from the organizational perspective. How do the trails look?
Better than they've ever looked.
It's
speak up for us just a little bit, Andrew.
Oh, great. Yeah, they look better than they've ever looked before.
Good. And I know California Trail looks like a freeway, and they opened that trail up. They widened it probably another foot and a half, huh?
It's the first year we've worked with the Echo Valley Dozer, the Echo Dozer. And so it looks like a freeway. It's opened up a lot more. Expect it to grow back, but for right now, it looks nice and wide.
Yeah, I've ridden it a few times, and it looks pretty good to me.
I heard you can pass on it.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
Yeah.
So let's see. From the website perspective, because you are the chairperson of the website, let's get to that really quick. If anybody's interested in following the ride, it's going to be webcast?
There is going to be a webcast again.
Okay.
We're working hard to get it up and running right now. Barbara Jacinto and Richard Neal are two people in charge of that, and they're endlessly working on it at this time. You know, the web is ever-changing, and we've updated some stuff. We have a new website,
yes,
teviscup.org.
Yes, if you haven't been to the site in a while, definitely go to it, because it's improved immensely since Andrew's been on the committee.
Which created some headaches for the people running the webcast.
Yeah.
Because they had to update all their stuff.
Okay.
So we've given it a trial run, and it's looking good.
Good.
You can check it out in probably 3 or 4 days. We'll have a good site up for it.
Excellent. So now the things have changed at the finish line. And so for our people that, our listeners that are interested in watching the finish, Nobody's going to be allowed at the Overlook, where and the ride is actually going to finish in the fairgrounds this year.
Right.
Oh, terrific.
So we're trying to encourage everyone to go to the fairgrounds to watch the riders come in.
Well, we'll have some refreshments out there, some coffee. We're hoping to have a band out there.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking forward to having some of the vendors moved in that direction and have an announcer, Pete Occhialini, again.
Yes, he's very good.
We'll have a slideshow, it looks like, and we'll have the boards updating everybody where your rider's at.
Excellent. Yeah, so if you're interested in going to the finish line will be at the fairgrounds, and that's at the, you know, in the, you know, where they race the
motorcycles.
McCann
Stadium.
It's in the stadium. That's where the finish line will be?
Yes.
All right. That's awesome.
It's a new finish. It's going to be a little different, so the finish line will be down there. The official top 10 will get some placement a little bit before that, and they'll all come in their order that they did cross their placement finish line.
Okay.
And so, you were talking about getting into Forest Hill in a timely manner. So we've kind of redirected some of the high country trail, and we've got a little bit more time to get in now.
Yeah, we're taking the road from Robinson Flat all the way to Dusty Corner.
Do you think that'll help?
I think it'll help a lot.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to also
Robinson
add
Flat
some
to
challenges.
Where?
From Robinson Flat to Dusty Corner, Dusty Corners. And so normally we take Pucker Point, which is kind of a narrow trail. The name Pucker Point Trail is, you can just kind of figure it out for yourself. It's a very narrow trail with a big drop. And so we won't have to do that this year. That's going to be nice.
Yeah, I think we're going to start glow bars at Michigan Bluff.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the riders are going to hit dark even that early.
Yeah, I believe it. And so you know, what do you think? You know, you're riding it. I know. I just shod your horse yesterday for the ride. And you know, do you think that the short day is going to make any big changes in times or challenges?
It could be in a positive, more or less. I think everybody that's ready for this ride knows how to ride in the dark, and the trail's safer than it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
So with the cooler weather, given a short day, I think we'll have the highest completion rate.
Really?
Today.
Okay. Well, I'm all for that.
Can I talk a little bit about the riding in the dark?
Uh-huh.
The main thing about riding in the dark is not to use a flashlight or not to use any light, because horses have excellent night vision. And if you shine a light that gets in their eyes, you will blind their night vision.
Yeah, you just got to trust them. You just got to trust them and go. And they'll follow. You know, a trained trail horse will stay on the trail.
Yeah, your job is to be as neutral on their back as possible in the dark, because they can see and you can't.
Yeah. So
that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, yeah. You just let them do their thing, and they will stay on the trail. You know, most of the time where people make a mistake is in the dark, is where they think they're seeing the trail, and they start guiding the horse, and the horse will be resistant, but then, you know, says, okay, I guess this is where you want me to go, and that's where they end up going off a cliff. Most horses they'll stay on the trail. You agree with that, Andrew?
I agree completely.
Yeah, it's happened to me where I've tried to take them up, you know, on the California Loop, there's places where it looks like the trail is, like, heading up, but it's just the way the light shines on the dry grass, and I've had, you know, I've asked them to go, and they resist, and I go, oh, that's not a good sign. Maybe I'll just trust my horse here, and they'll take me where I want to go. They get me to Francisco's. So anything else that we need to know from a spectator's perspective?
Well,
for the ride.
I added Sharma onto my Facebook today.
Excellent.
So if she can do me a favor and go on to Tevis Cup's official website or Facebook and like it, if she hasn't already, I'd like everybody to go on there, because we have 928 Facebook likes.
I did that last night.
Great.
Yay.
We can add about 75 more people. We'll break the 1,000 barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. They're kind of jointly linked. It'd be great to follow us on the webcast as well this year. So we'll have a good social media outreach. And I think we're trying to connect with as many people as possible right now. We've got some great sponsors, and we want to recognize them. It gives us a great avenue to show what we're putting into this ride. And I think that the social media outreach is my focal point as a website committee chair.
It's fun to see all the people who have liked it, too. It's really interesting.
It's great.
You'll see some of your friends on there.
Yeah, cool.
Other than that, just have a great time. Come up and volunteer at Forest Hill if you can. You can get on our website, and we're looking for volunteers at Forest Hill mainly right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a need. We have one of the biggest volunteer bases for any ride, and this year, because of the change of dates, a lot of people had different plans.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's excellent, because there's probably people that are listening that are thinking, well, gosh, that's a great, good way to get to know this ride is to volunteer.
I'd like mm-hmm. to say that last year there were about 800 volunteers for all of us riders, and the volunteers were literally like angels.
Oh, they're great.
Because
they're great.
There are many, most of the vet checks, you can't have a crew. So the volunteers are there to help you and your horse, and they are just wonderful, and they're so encouraging, and they know exactly what to do, and they were just amazing.
Yeah, and if you want to spectate a vet check, Forest Hill's the best place to go.
Of course, the finish line.
And the finish line. And let's see, also Wednesday night there's a barbecue.
There is.
And everybody's invited to
participate. Sunday after the ride.
And Sunday after the ride, everybody's invited to go to the awards banquet, and they have a great dinner set up and good food, and you get to see the top 10 horses lined out of the ride. They bring them out right up there on the stage, or by the stage.
Yeah, we have a new procedure to bring them up. It looks a little more fancy.
Cool. Well, they have they're giving out blankets for the first time for the top 10 horses. So
I hear
maybe
handmade halters.
Wow.
I saw the blankets yesterday. Beautiful.
Yeah. Cool.
That is at the fairgrounds, right?
That's at the fairgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah, at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, it'll be in the upper area.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we covered just about all of the planning of you know what to do on Saturday and Sunday.
We've covered everything but 100 miles.
Yeah. Well, Andrew, I wish you all of the luck. You are one of the few people that rode Virginia City that are attempting the Tevis. With the same horse, and I looked at him yesterday, and he looks really good, Andrew. He looks really good.
Thanks.
And his back looks good.
Yeah, we've got a free-form saddle. I'm excited to try.
Okay. Well, go out there and use it today. You're going to go ride him.
I'm going to let him stay in, and I'm going to take the young one.
You are? Okay. I wanted you to try out my new shoes before you went and...
We'll do that tomorrow.
Okay, do it tomorrow. All right, let me know. Okay, that was Andrew Gerhard from Western States Trail Foundation. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll finish up talking with Sharma Gopinath, Tevis from the Back of My Horse, her new book, and then BK's got a little event she wants to talk about. We'll be right back after these messages.
Echo Valley Ranch at 205 Nevada Street in Auburn is your downtown feed store and a whole lot more. How much more? Well, here's Echo Valley Ranch customers to tell you.
Well, I shop at Echo Valley because they have all my pet needs in one place. The other thing is that there are parrot heads here.
Well, I like Echo Valley because they've got everything you need down here, especially good service. And if they don't have it, they'll get it. But I haven't found anything that they don't have yet.
Hi, this is Chuck at Echo Valley again, and we're here with Hank. And Hank, you're a cow dog, right? Oh, really? The fact that they have all the biscuits right at nose level works for you, huh? I think that about says it all.
Echo Valley Ranch, your downtown feed store and a whole lot more. 205 Nevada Street in Auburn. Open 7 days a week with delivery available. The next time you find yourself in the need for feed, see the friendly folks at Echo Valley Ranch.
Honey, do you remember the last time you gave me flowers?
Well...
You know, we have an anniversary coming up. It's been a long time since I've had a beautiful flower arrangement from you.
Great idea, honey. I'll run to the grocery store.
Oh, no! You should go to Auburn Blooms Florists and Gifts in Auburn. They're known for incredible floral arrangements, and that would make me smile. You may even find a cute gift for me while you're there, since owner Lisa has a great selection of gifts.
Okay, any chance I can call ahead to talk to Lisa about, a couple of ideas?
Absolutely. Lisa loves to help her customers create the perfect arrangement. She's known for gorgeous holiday and birthday arrangements, beautiful sympathy bouquets, lovely anniversary flowers, and incredible wedding floral creations. Hey, there's an idea. Something reminiscent of our wedding flowers for our anniversary?
Okay, okay. Give me the phone number.
It's 886-8913.
886-8913?
That's it. 886-8913. You can check them out on the web, too, at auburnbloomsflorist.com.
Okay, honey. Auburn Blooms, here I come.
Christensen Saddlery, Northern California's largest tack shop for horse care products and accessories, is a proud sponsor of K-High Corral. Christensen's is your source for English riding apparel, Western tack, including clothing, boots, and Weaver leather. Mention this K-High ad, and Christensen's will take $10 off any purchase of $50 or more. No other coupons or discounts apply. Christensen Saddlery in Loomis, 1-800-40-HORSE, 1-800-40-HORSE, or online at christensens-saddlery.com.
Hi, this is Jimmy J. Let's get together this Saturday night at 8 p.m. for the Rewind Show on K-High, the first station in the world to ever broadcast this show. And thanks to you, boy, have we grown. If you haven't already, be sure to tune in to find out what the rest of the world is talking about. The stars you grew up with are always on Rewind. Saturday night, 8 p.m., right here on the Voice of the Foothills, AM 950, K-High.
All right, we're back. We have 10 minutes left. I know, this show goes by so fast.
It does.
All right.
Let's have fun.
Well, we've been talking. We just talked to Andrew Gerhardt from Western States Trail Foundation and got the update on what the ride is going to be like this year and what you can do as a volunteer and spectator. And we've been talking to Sharma Gopinath about her book, Tevis from the Back of My Horse. You can go to her website. You can go to, what is it, Sharma Gopinath?
SharmaGopinath.com.
Gopinath, yeah. Gopinath.com. And or you can just put the, you know, Google Tevis from the Back of My Horse and it'll come up. And you can order the books now.
Right. And then they'll be for sale through the Tevis store as well.
Okay. So you can go to Western States Trail Foundation. And you also are donating some of the proceeds to the Western States Trail Foundation.
Right.
That's
right.
Great.
Excellent.
Now, will they be available eventually on Amazon or any sites like that?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Good.
Okay.
Excellent. Well, it's pretty exciting, and just more media out there for our ride, and more help for people that are interested in doing this. So I think it's a great thing you did. And
why don't you mention again?
I
didn't mean to interrupt, but why don't you mention again how come the Tevis this year is later than normal, and for some of those that may not
okay.
know.
Yeah, well, it was slated for July 17th, which is actually early, and it always falls on the particular full moon, the Tevis moon. It's a waning moon or something like that. It's a big moon anyway, and that's where the ride is always scheduled for that moon. And so it's not the same date every year. Well, this year it was July 17th, which is early for Tevis normally, and there was just too much snow up in the high country, and they did everything. I mean, the board did everything they could think of.
Well, we had snow in early June.
Yeah, it was still snowing.
Yeah.
I mean, there was nothing that we could do but postpone, either cancel the ride or postpone it. And, you know, in 08, we had to postpone or cancel the ride because of the fires were so bad and the smoke. And we couldn't train anyway because the smoke was so bad. So the Western States Trail Foundation decided instead of canceling the ride, we're going to postpone it. This is unprecedented. It's never happened before. You know, I mean, it'll be we'll always be able to say we rode the 2011 October Tevis.
That's right.
And I think that'll be pretty cool.
Sounds like it's going to be very spectator friendly this year too, with the finish at in the McCann Stadium and
yeah.
everything that will be going on. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, that's some of the stuff that we worked on from the development committee, was to really focus on getting more people involved
mm-hmm.
in the ride.
It sounds
and
good.
You know, we want Auburn to stand out. You know, with the Tevis, and I think it should. So this will be a great event, and I think anybody that's listening should come out and watch the finish line, or go up to Forest Hill and watch the vet check up there.
So please hurry carefully, so I don't have to stay up too late.
Where
okay?
is the vet check in Forest Hill? Where is it?
It's at the mill site.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so up at Bath Road, And so you just go past Forest Hill a little ways, and you can't miss it because there's going to be so much going on. And Forest Hill's also having kind of a trade show and different things going on in town to coincide with the ride. Forest Hill's really getting involved in it this year, which is really exciting to kind of have, you know, vendors and different people, you know, at the town of Forest Hill.
No, it used to be they came right through town.
We do.
And then
we're going to come right through town.
Yeah.
And then we take California Street and head off to the California Trail and off
Adios.
To Francisco's and then Auburn. So it'll be exciting. Are you how are you feeling talking about it?
I can't wait. I'm so looking forward to the ride this year.
She's like just kind of antsy in her seat right now.
I'm ready to ride.
Try this again. Let's get where we ain't.
Yeah.
Let's try this again. Forest Hill to Francisco's.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Francisco's to Auburn.
That's the best part.
That's the best part, yeah.
Because then you know you're home free.
You are home free. Once you get past that lower Corey vet check, oh man, that one, I just get so nervous there. Because that's the last
96 miles into the ride.
That check, so, and it's the one place you do not want to get pulled is at that lower quarry. You just have just a little ways. Auburn's just right there. And I've seen people get pulled. I've ridden with people that have been pulled there. And, oh, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So, BK, you're going to be doing something.
Well, I just wanted to invite our friends and listeners to a little event Tuesday. That's this coming October 4th. Placer Art League has its monthly meeting at the Arts Building. That's at 808 Lincoln Way. I'm going to be doing a little demo on drawing and painting horses in pastel and get up to some other mischief, too. So anyone who would like to come is very welcome. It will be downstairs rather than on the main floor this time. They're judging an art show upstairs. But everyone is welcome. And also Suzanne Blaney, who is an incredible artist, has written a beautiful book about a very, very famous pastelist, Anita Wolf. And they both plan to be there, too. So it should be a lot of fun. Everyone's welcome. So that's at 10 a.m. on Tuesday morning at the Arts Building. I'll be happy to see you there.
Great.
You can come too, Matt.
I know.
And Sharma. Now you'll be a little busy, I think.
We're having our crew dress rehearsal
I think
on
you,
Tuesday,
you'll both
so.
Be a little busy this next week.
You have
week,
a crew dress rehearsal?
I do.
Do you have a big crew?
Yeah, I divide my crew up into parts. You know, I have a crew for the start of the ride, a crew for Robinson, a crew for Forest Hill, and then anybody who's still awake comes and meets me at the
How many crew members per stop?
Oh, it just depends on what you want and who's willing to do it. I mean, I've asked friends to crew for me, and I haven't talked to them since, and that was probably like years ago. they were not happy
still,
with.
Still out there, man.
I told them it was fun.
Crewing for Kevin's.
And when I came in, when I came into Robinson Flat, and they were standing there not smiling because they had to hike all the stuff in. I realized, this isn't going to be
a couple
be
of those
good.
Guys are out there with a 20-year growth.
Yeah,
looking for banjo.
There's a grudge out there, yeah. So you really want to prepare your crew for what it's going to be, because believe me, I've crewed this ride, and it is not easy.
So what are you talking about, two or three people? Or
two or three people per vet check. You don't want too many, because then things get too chaotic. You want people that are there. You know, I always like somebody that really knows my horse. To be there, or knows horses well enough to kind of observe if I'm, you know, using the bathroom or have to walk away, that they're watching him and just seeing if he's eating, if he's drinking, is he pooping, is he peeing, and what his mental attitude is. And so it's good to have one person that kind of knows that. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
And then, you know, I like having somebody that's kind of there to, you know, force food down me, you know. You know, somebody that's willing to kind of sit there and say, hey, did you eat, did you drink, are you taking care of yourself? And that's really all you need, you
right.
know.
Well, you we're going to bake you a batch of cookies when this is over.
Okay, well, the land's just about right, because we won't do the show next weekend.
Right.
And then
right.
We come back, we'll have a follow-up, and I'll get to talk about my adventure and hopefully
that'll
my
be great.
Finish. You know, I mean, I'd sure like to keep my 100% completion rate going.
Well, we'll try to be there at the end and watch.
Sharma has 100% completion rate.
Yeah. And may you keep it up. Sharma, congratulations.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Once again, the book is called Tevis from the Back of My Horse. Sharma Gapanoff and was our guest, as well as Andrew Gerhardt. I'd like to thank both of you for coming on the program.
Thank you for inviting me.
Coming up next is the Garden Guru. And BK?
Yes, sir.
It's been fun.
Happy trails, and I'll be thinking about you all this week.
All right, October 8th, next Saturday, Tevis, don't forget it. We'll be back the following weekend.
Who cares about the clouds when we're together?
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails. To you till we meet again.
The choice of the foothills. We are the voice of the foothills. AM 950, KAHI, Auburn, Grass Valley, Placerville.